Consumer Protection will come to order for Tuesday, March 22nd, 2011. And good morning, everyone.
Morning.
I guess it's a gloomy, rainy day, but the good news is it's a March rain and not a November rain.
Yes.
We'll be looking forward to about 5 months, but it's going to get better. Well, let's see. Let me first lay out what the plan is for the next 2 days, members. There was one bill on the agenda, but the author had requested that that be removed, along with the chairman's encouragement. So we won't be hearing that bill today. But I'm not saying we won't at a future date, because there are some important issues. But certainly not today. The focus of this week is really on the budget, and so that's why we put off the policy matter. We want to spend today and tomorrow doing our responsibilities in passing a budget onto the Finance Committee relating to those divisions within the Department of Commerce that we have jurisdiction over. And we've talked about those over the past couple of months here in the committee. And what we're going to do is, I think I want to explain a little bit about our overall goals that we wanted to accomplish here. And then we're going to have Mr. Mueller go through the spreadsheet that you have and look at the numbers and what we're trying to do here. And I think if you could maybe just jot down your questions, I think it would be best if we can just get a high altitude overview, kind of a run through on the spreadsheet, and then what we'll do is we can certainly get some overall comments from the commissioner and from Mr. Janke, and then we can certainly spend all the time we need going through section by section and having a testimony, member questions, doing whatever we need to do to make sure everybody gets all the information they need. And we will adjourn today at noon. We will then come back tomorrow. And my plan would be is if we could vote on this. And if we pass it, it'll go on to the Committee on Finance. I would like to try to do that by the end of the committee hearing tomorrow. If we don't meet that deadline, if there are additional discussion, additional questions, amendments, then certainly we have additional time reserved for that evening. In fact, what is the time in?
5:30.
So we do have room 118 reserved at, you said 5:00, at 5:30 tomorrow if we need to spill over into that time. So that would be the plan. What I'll do right now is just to let you know that this is the first time in recent history that the Commerce Committee has not been strictly a policy committee, but we have been tasked with looking into several of the accounts within the Department of Commerce and coming up with a budget. Certainly, in the big scheme of things, I mean, the entire budget of the Department of Commerce's general fund portion is about roughly $34 million, that ballpark. And, of course, we're looking at a $5 billion deficit, and so it doesn't seem like it's much. But certainly to the Department of Commerce and all of the functions that that they do and that we want them to do, it's a big deal. So it actually is, I think, pretty good that we've had the opportunity to dig in some detail and not just do a broad brushstroke, but actually come in and do some thought into what we're doing. There were two main goals that I'll tell you that we needed to accomplish with this project, and one of them was we needed to meet a target, and in this case it was $31 million. And, of course, I just said that the overall budget was 34. Well, we're certainly not just leaving the department with $3 million. The bulk of this is going to come from some fund transfers, and we'll talk about that. The second one is certainly we want to preserve the mission of the Department of Commerce, the consumer protection, the market assurance, the examinations of the financial institutions, all those functions. We do not want to do them any serious damage to place the consumers of the state of Minnesota at risk. So we're trying to come up with a plan that accomplishes both those dual goals. I did have an opportunity. I wanted to make this as public as possible when we finally had this put together, and I did invite members of the minority to my office yesterday, and we had several attend as well as some staff members of those who couldn't attend, and we went over at least briefly on what this was all about. And to give you some time to come up with your questions and certainly potential amendments that we will take up, I think, tomorrow, if you have those. And if you want to talk to me during the interim about some ideas offline or else during the committee, we can take all those up. And then also yesterday afternoon, we presented this to John Reich, who is I guess your official title is it government relations for the Department of Commerce, so that that they were aware of what some of our ideas were. So with that, what I'm going to do, unless anybody has any initial questions, I'm going to turn this over right now to Mr. Mueller. If you could walk us through the spreadsheet, and if, like I say, if you could hold on to questions at least until we get through the high altitude overview. So, Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, hopefully all of you have the spreadsheet in front of you, and it's available up on the front there also. It's titled Commerce and Consumer Protection Details. The way this spreadsheet is structured, it just shows the Senate recommendations for fiscal year 12 and 13, and then also the tails, fiscal year 14 and 15. And the way it is structured is similar to how the appropriation bills work, where we have the department totals at the top, similar to what we have in the appropriation bills, and then each division of that underneath. So briefly, let's look at the totals on line 10. And the columns to look at is the first gray column there, the Senate 1213 minus forecast. So this is where our changes are compared to what's in the base budget. The 1052 in line 10 reflects the extension of the petroleum tank cleanup fund. Currently, that was to sunset after fiscal year 12. Senator Gerlach carried a bill, and also the governor proposed extending that fund. So that has a direct appropriation here of continuing that in fiscal year 13 and beyond. So that shows an increase over the base of $1,052,000. The next line item is the total general fund change. And you see here the Senate is proposing $1.112 million of general fund reductions total. There's some net reductions and some net increases. So the net reduction is $1.112 million or 3.2% decrease. And compared to the governor, you'll see over two columns, it's about $72,000 net more of a reduction than the governor. Now those are all the direct appropriations that we'll see in the bill draft. Underneath this are all the statutory and open appropriations. The only change there you'll see on line 14 is the statutory spending that goes on with the petroleum tank cleanup, or the open appropriation that continues with the extension of the petroleum tank cleanup fund. And that's $17.1 million. So next, we'll go down to each division within Commerce. First, we have on lines 21 through 37, the Division of Financial Institutions. The Senate is proposing a $350,000 increase in this part of Commerce's budget. The governor had no changes here. And the way this works within Commerce, this area is fully assessed. So these we'll also see a revenue increase at the end of the bill that ties out to this same number. And this is to pay for some additional employees or services under financial examinations, roughly based on five FTEs. And this is an ongoing appropriation of increase of $350,000 per year. So that's the only change under financial institutions. Next area is a petroleum tank cleanup fund, lines 38 through 52. Again, this is the change. This is where we show the change items for extending the petroleum tank cleanup fund. This also was in the governor's bill, so that costs about $18.18 million per year. Some of that's a direct appropriation, some of that, and $17 million is a open appropriation. Again, that was in the governor's bill, and Senator Gerlach was carrying the bill. And there's also language in the environment bill also extending this petroleum tank cleanup fund because the Pollution Control Agency also spent some money from the petroleum tank cleanup fund. So that is it for page one. On to page two. The next part of the department we see is administrative services. Here on line 59 is the general fund reduction carried by the Senate. It's $1.93 million for the biennium, which is about 1.522 more than the governor. Then on the next line, again, here's where the Senate is adding some increased compliance regarding unclaimed property. And the way this works is, we'll see when we get to the end of the spreadsheet, this generates some extra unclaimed property revenue. And I've been working with the department on this. It sort of, at least up front, brings in about revenue of about 5-to-1 ratio, at least up front. And then it starts tailing off as we start returning some of that unclaimed property. But this is a compliance issue that brings in more revenue, brings in about $3 million. Spending $750,000 brings in about $3 million of revenue, at least in this biennium. And we'll get to that when we get to the revenues at the end. So when you net out those two changes, this area of Department of Commerce will see a $1.18 million decrease, or a 14.5% general fund decrease. The next area for the department, lines 69 through 90, is market assurance. Here the Senate is proposing to do all the reductions that were contained in the governor's proposal. So all those changes on lines 78 through 80 are all reductions that were proposed by the governor. And the Senate is also carrying those at the same level. So that's about a 4.9% general fund decrease to this area. The last area is weights and measures, and there's no general fund dollars in this area of Department of Commerce, and there's also no changes to that area. The last page, you'll see a net general fund, how we get to our $31 million target. The changes in expenditures on line 110 on the Senate is $1.112 million of net general fund spending reductions compared to the governor. That's $72,000 more than the governor. And then you'll see revenue changes of $29.888 million. And those revenue changes are spelled out below that I'll go through now. They consist of transfers and some also ongoing revenues. The first transfer you see on line 120 is a transfer of $11.3 million in each fiscal year 12 and 13 for a total of $22.6 million for the biennium. Now, this is a transfer that has been done in the past in fiscal or last year in the budget process. $14 million was transferred out of this fund. And also in 2008, $10 million was transferred out of this fund. So the way this would work is there would be two separate transfers. One would occur right at the end of fiscal year 12 and one at the end of fiscal year 13. The next three are all accounts. The lines 121 through 124 are all separate accounts within a special revenue fund. There's a licensed technology surcharge account, the insurance fraud prevention account, the auto theft prevention account, and the real estate research and prevention account. So the total transfers out of those areas is about $3.65 million, I think. Now these are all accounts where transfers have been taken before in both 2010 and 2008 at similar levels. And these are balances that are set to be there at the end of the next biennium. So based on the current spending and current revenues coming in to these accounts in fiscal year 12 and 13, these are balances that are set to be there by the end of the outgoing, the next biennium. So it's not hopefully taking money that would prevent any base spending was supposed to go on in 12 and 13. So total transfers is $26.15 million, and so that'll be a one-time money to going into the target. It's not ongoing. Next section here on lines 126 through 129 are other revenues. Line 127 is the assessment that comes back into the general fund for the new financial examiners that occurred back up in, we talked about the appropriations. Again, the way this works in this area of commerce, when they get to fully assess their general fund costs, so when we appropriate more money in this area, they get to assess it back. So $350,000 per year in revenue will be coming back into the general fund. Line 128, for now, I'm carrying the revenue that was in Senator Gazelka's Senate File 243, generated a little bit of one-time general fund revenue, $38,000. And we'll see when we get to the Finance Committee if they'll still let us count this here or not. This bill is currently sitting in Judiciary and hasn't been through the Department or Finance Committee yet, but we'll work with them about who gets to count this $38,000. Right now I'm carrying it on this spreadsheet. The last item is revenue that we are foreseeing coming in due to the increase unclaimed property compliance. And you see here it brings in $3 million for the current biennium. It starts, if you look out to the next biennium, it starts bringing in less revenue because more of the money starts getting returned. And I also, on the first year, fiscal year 12, reduced the amount by 40% just to allow them to ramp up after they hire a contract for some additional people to go out and do the unclaimed property compliance. So that is the proposal. There is about $3.738 million of revenues coming in. Mm-hmm. So total revenues, general fund, is $29.888 million. And then you'll see the other revenue under the petroleum tank cleanup fund of $26.33 million, but that goes into its own separate fund. So total revenues generated by this bill is $56.2 million. Most of that coming from the general fund part coming from transfers. So that is the spreadsheet. Happy to answer any questions, at least on the technical parts of it.
Do we committee members have any questions for Mr. Mueller on the numbers on the spreadsheet? It's an easy crowd today. Well, then with that, thank you. Do we need to go through the bill at all?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'll briefly go through the bill, and there's one area where Mr. Stang pointed out we got to correct a statutory reference, so I'll just spend a minute going through the bill here. This is a delete everything amendment to Senate File 771, which was a previously introduced bill that was showing the governor's budget proposals for this part of commerce. Section 2, again, is the totals for the department. It reflects the same numbers in the spreadsheet. Subdivision 2, financial institutions there, you'll see a rider showing the additional money for financial examination services. Subdivision 3 is the appropriation that continues for the petroleum tank cleanup fund. Subdivision 4, you'll see a rider there again for the increase efforts under unclaimed property of $375,000 per year. Under market assurance, those are all the same numbers that were in the governor's proposal. And then section 3, starting on line 2.11, you'll see the language doing all the different transfers. This is similar language from what we've adopted in previous years. And the one change I will note is on the bottom of the page, line 2.32. That statutory reference, instead of 82.43, should be 82.86.
We'll formally adopt that change to the amendment. I guess which order? I guess we would because we're going to need to adopt the A3 amendment. Actually, I think that's probably what we'll do by the end of the day today. We'll adopt that change. We'll adopt this amendment, and then we'll leave that. I don't think we're going to do any other amendments until tomorrow. We'll take up. We'll do the markup and do other amendments.
Chairman,
if that makes sense, then a rest.
You could just incorporate that change in one motion, so we'd only have to take one.
Okay. All right. When that time comes, we'll do that then. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Rest. Okay, Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, on page 3, again, section 4 is the transfer from the assigned risk plan. Again, that is contained in two separate transfers. So there's two paragraphs there, one at the end of fiscal year 12, one at the end of fiscal year 13. Section 5 on line 3.14 is the statutory change that was in Senator Gerlach's bill that extended the petroleum tank cleanup fund. And this would allow for another type of facility to be eligible for the money. The last section, 6, on the last page is the actual section that extends the petroleum tank cleanup fund from fiscal year, from ending at fiscal year 12 to ending after fiscal year 17. That's it for the
members. Let me just say a quick comment about the petroleum tank fund sunset. That bill is supported by the department and also by the Petroleum Marketers Association, and I'm carrying that bill. It was presented in the Environment Committee and then laid over for possible inclusion into their bill. It does cross several jurisdictions with the PCA and Environment, and also with DEED, so it's the Jobs Committee, as well as the Department of Commerce. We will, since we've got it in our spreadsheet here as well, that's why this policy language is in this bill. And I am trying to keep the policy to a minimum in this bill, unless we feel we really, you know, need it. And this is one that I think we do. And tomorrow we have lined up for some testimony on that. I don't know if we have anybody that's here today that wants to speak to that can't be here tomorrow. But the plan would be, I believe, that some folks from the Petroleum Marketers Association will be here and speaking to this as well tomorrow. So, Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, in Section 6, all the repealers deal with the petroleum fund. Is that correct?
I believe that is the case,
all
unless I'm missing one.
They're
all from the...
I mean, they're extending it until 2017, but all of those sections deal with it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, members, any questions on the bill then itself? Okay, we'll see none then. I know that the Commissioner Rothman needs to move on to other things. You've got some other meetings or other appointments, and so we can certainly use this time to hear from the commissioner and answer any questions. And then I think Commissioner, did you need to leave by 11:30? You need to be somewhere else by 11:30, or either one.
It's in the building.
It's in the building. Okay. So let's do that then. I guess if members have at least an overview of the concept of where we're going, I guess we haven't had a lot of discussion yet among members about the concepts here and what we're trying to do other than in a broad context. But maybe, Commissioner, if you'd like to start it off with your reaction to what we're doing and any ideas and suggestions you would have for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for having us here today. Also with me at the table is Mr. Janke. Tim Janke is our CFO for the department, as you know, and knows these numbers as well as anybody. And so first of all, I'd like to have him make a few comments about generally some of the thoughts that he has. Second of all, I'll make some, you know, focused comments on some of the impacts in the department. And then also with us today is our deputies and assistant commissioners and staff. Particularly, we have Deputy Commissioner Kevin Murphy for financial institutions and so questions in the banking area. Deputy Commissioner Steve Carlson is here. He's in charge of the administrative services area. And then we also have Robert Commodore. Paul Hansen, these are the folks in the market assurance area, as well as Joel Fisher, who, as the committee knows, is and has been here before, the Petro Fund director. In addition, Amy Trumper, who is our person that manages the unclaimed property division. I may have, and then we also have, as you know, some of our other staff on government relations here. With that, I'd like to have Tim just sort of give you a high-level overview, just some thoughts, and then I'll come back to some wrap-up.
Good morning, Mr. Janke.
Mr. Chair, members, Tim Janke, Department of Commerce, CFO. I'll just kind of broad. I mean, Mr. Mueller walked through the details here. I'll just walk through a few of the impacts, kind of what we're looking at. In general, we haven't fully digested some of the general fund reductions in admin, and are still trying to kind of contemplate where the changes might be. First, I'd like to say also thanks to the chair and staff for working with us and having a dialogue on some of the budget items here. It's been nice to kind of work with you on that. So, first, in the administrative services area, the $965 a year, or the $1.93 million for the biennium, we're estimating that that'll have about a 12 FTE reduction in our administrative services area. Primarily, that would be focused on our information technology, financial management, human resources, and then kind of our basic front office, mailroom types of areas. Not mentioning unclaimed property in there, given that the other portion here, we're having additional staff. We wouldn't want to be reducing that and then adding back. That doesn't seem to be the intent. So we'd be focusing on those other areas. So those are pretty, those would be some pretty large reductions in those, kind of in those main focus areas.
Excuse me, Mr. Janke.
Yep.
That's a good question. How many total current FTEs? That's 12 out of a pool of how many?
Mr. Chair, 37.
37, okay. Thank you.
Yep. In addition, obviously, we have the $375,000 increase in here for unclaimed property. That would be five additional FTE in our administrative services area. We would contemplate kind of ramping that up in the first year, maybe doing some contractual work with some outside entities that have helped other states to begin their audit programs. So we wouldn't necessarily have five at the first year, and I think the language also contemplates having some contracts out there. So we would probably have two to three staff to begin with in the first years, do some contracts, and then ramp it up more in the out years. As far as market assurance, the changes there are the $316,000 a year or $632,000 for the biennium, which is the governor's reduction. Changes. We had three FTE reduction in the governor's budget or in the proposal here, and those were vacant positions. So while we could use that staffing, we're not. There's no bodies, no folks that would be getting laid off per that proposal. The other areas that I'll make some comments on here, Mr. Chair, is the special revenue accounts that are on Mr. Mueller's spreadsheet. They're on starting on lines 117, the transfers and revenues area. The license technology account, just so members are aware, that's a $40 surcharge on licenses for mainly insurance producers, real estate folks who have continuing education requirements. They currently pay into this account, and that funds updates, maintenance and updates to our licensing systems. So there are some funds available in there that have accumulated. $650,000 would be taking basically the bulk of what's left at the end of the biennium. The only concerns that I think I have on all of these is cash flow. As we specifically move into fiscal years 14, that if any, you know, and obviously these are all projections 2 years out, but if all of those funds are swept at the end of the biennium, moving forward into the next biennium, we may have some cash flow issues.
Okay. Mr. Janke, if you could hold on. Senator Cruz has a question.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Janke, could you spoke about that license technology surcharge, that $42. and that it was for the updating of technology and systems. Could you tell us a little bit about when the most recent updates were done and what those updates were? Just give us a little bit more of an idea of what this money is going for and when the last time an update was done.
Mr. Jenke, if you happen to know that answer, if we have to bring somebody else up for a more detailed answer, maybe we could hold off on that for a moment then, Senator Cruz, unless you can give a quick answer to that. Let me know. Otherwise, maybe we can continue on with the broader comments.
Mr. Chair.
We'll come back to all of these.
Mr. Chair, Robert Commodore is here, and he can speak to those in a minute, kind of more of the specifics. So.
Okay, Senator Cruz, is it okay with you if we just hold
off
on
Mr.
that?
Chair.
We'll make sure to come back to that question then. Okay, thank you. Mr. Jenke.
Mr. Chair, members, the next account that I have on my list here is the fraud insurance fraud prevention account. There's a $950,000 transfer. These are fees that are assessed on insurance producers or insurance companies authorized to sell insurance in the state. This account is, I mentioned cash flow earlier, but this account is one that we're currently very much monitoring cash flow and other, just because of the way the spending happens versus when the assessed monies come in. So this is one account where I would be a little bit concerned on the cash flow, and any flexibilities that we can have here would be appreciated. The next account is the auto theft prevention account, which is a $1.5 million transfer. It's based on 50 cents per 6 months of insurance, auto insurance coverage sold in the state is deposited in this account. There are funds in here that would accommodate this transfer. In essence, what it would do is just reduce grants that would be paid out to local units of government. We have very small administrative costs for this. There's only a portion of an FTE that administers this program, so it really wouldn't have any impact on layoffs and that type of thing. It would just be those grants that would be reduced. Moving on, the real estate recovery transfer of $450,000. Basically, the real estate brokers, sales persons, and closing agents pay $20 per renewal when they renew their license, or $30 for their initial license into this account. It's used to do some recovery activities for individuals that have been harmed by bad real estate transactions, and to do some education as well. There are some funds available there, the $450,000. In essence, what it would do is reduce the amounts that we have available to either make these or do some education activities. The last item is the biggest one, I guess, here is the assigned risk plan transfer of 11.3. Just for the committee's information, those funds are not held within the Department of Commerce specifically. The State Board of Investment holds those dollars and invests them. We have oversight over the activities, but we also do have an outside entity that actually administers the program for us. Basically the assigned risk plan is a workers' comp insurance carrier of last resort for those businesses in the state so they pay premiums into the account. As Mr. Mueller mentioned, there has been excess reserves in the account in the past, and by statute those are moved to the general fund at the end of the biennium. But in the past couple of budget cycles, that has been sped up as it would be here in this proposal.
Mr. Jenke, just so members understand, those are unlike these other special revenue funds. In this case, these were not paid in. This money that's being transferred are investment earnings. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, members, yes, it would be investment earnings, as well as it could be some premium dollars as well. I mean, they're all in one big pool or one big pot, basically. So, but investment earnings are definitely very much a part of that.
Thank you. Okay.
The last thing I'll note is just to thank you for including the Petra Fund extension in there as a change item. So other than that, that was the extent of my turn it back over to the commissioner.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, also I want to just touch on some broad points and then maybe focus on one or two of the items and the impacts, and then we have some staff that can answer any questions. Again, I do want to say thank you to the to you, Mr. Chair, your staff, and to the open channels we've had with communications and trying to work out the numbers. It's refreshing, and it's nice to see that. Second of all, I recognize the point of targets. You're working within those guidelines, and to the extent that you can, it looks like there's been a lot of thoughtfulness in terms of what the department does, its needs, kind of hearing what we were saying at the outset about our mission, and as well trying to achieve that mission. So we do really appreciate that, and it does reflect it in the work that you've done and some hard work here and trying to balance things out. On the mission, of course, you said it. You said it at the outset. Our goal and mission by law and by the Constitution is to take care of the public interest, to protect consumers, and to do that. The folks that are here are our managers, and they work with their staff that are on the front lines on a daily basis to fight and work with fraud, consumer issues, helping people work with those issues and all that. So they do a tremendous amount of work to help protect the seniors, help protect everybody's families from fraudulent activity that comes into Minnesota, and then to work with industry to be able to develop good companies, responsible companies, and that we perform our functions, from a regulatory perspective with strong integrity and with the ability to try and execute on these functions every day. As I see what you've done and the work and the effort is to build on what the governor's proposal was, in addition to trying to achieve your targets, there are some I would just point out some significant issues and maybe red flags for the committee to take a look at. Obviously, first of all, looking at the financial institutions and the banking issue, having the additional FTEs there is a positive, in the sense that that department, actually the whole department, is operating lean in almost every area. We don't have energy, but putting energy aside, the department, as I have come into it, has been operating relatively lean and bare to the bone. The issue of most concern to me is the focus on the administrative services area. I look at this as you can either consider it the brains or the heart of the function of the department. Functioning of the department, as everybody knows, and preface to me even starting, the Office of Legislative Auditor has put out reports actually for the last 9 years, and Deputy Commissioner Steve Carlson can speak to these. We've reviewed them, and there's a consistent message, which is the ability of the agency to stay on track with internal controls. It's been an issue. It's been something that is brought to my immediate attention. I've taken immediate action on some of these things, including asking Deputy Commissioner Carlson and Mr. Janke to focus from the outset on internal controls. In addition, looking at what the Administrative Services Division does within the department, just to highlight those things as folks know. One is Mr. Janke's area, which is the financial arm, the financial folks that keep track of all the billing and the finances and everything that happens within the department on the money side. Second of all, we have document management. These are the folks that service all divisions, all areas and units within the department. They keep track of everything that's going on in terms of managing that flow, which is a substantial flow of information. The other area that's of significance is a computer technology area, information technology. And with commerce, obviously, that's a big part of our functioning. as commissioner, I want to make sure that we have up-to-date computer systems, up-to-date safety and soundness in the operation of our computer systems and technology. The staff that we have there on a daily basis manages a tremendous amount of information in computer systems. It crosses all industries, you know, insurance, you know, they can come up and give you all the details. Not including the unclaimed property area, we have, as Mr. Janke indicated, 37 employees that are in the core functioning of that area of the department. 12 FTE reduction is a 32% reduction to the current staff in that area. Let me just step back historically, too, and put it in a little bit of perspective, just so you get a feel for what's happened before and what this means today. That area, our folks have looked at it, has incurred over, I think it's since 2002, a 40% reduction to what it is today. So that's that 37. And so that, again, goes back to my point, which is that we operate pretty lean at this point. So an additional 32% reduction to that staff pretty much has a major impact to those functions. And to me, makes it very difficult for us to, I shouldn't say make it difficult, it's going to be a very significant hurdle for us to look at the issue of internal controls, to be able to manage that functioning, and to be able to address the concerns for the Office of Legislative Auditor. Not to say that we're not going to stay on top of it and do everything we can with what we are given, but that is the challenge. That'll be a significant challenge. There's just no doubt about it. That's the tough area impact. If I were to, again, I do recognize there's been a lot of thought that would put into this. I would just say maybe we can go back to a little bit and kind of figure out if there's a way to avoid that impact to the best that we can. And I do understand and recognize, let me just go back, that, again, Mr. Janke indicated that there's been the extension on the Petro Fund. We want to thank you for that. It's an important and tremendous program. You recognize that. And that, you know, with respect to all the rest of this stuff, my thought is, you know, as I've said even to the governor's staff, commerce is part of the entire picture. You said it at the outset and stepping back. There has to be something. But a question of how do we balance it out and do it in an appropriate fashion to make sure that we can continue to do the things that we need to do is important to us as well. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate your candid assessment of this, and those are the things we need to hear. And there were certainly some assumptions we were making, and we have had an open line of communication that's been very helpful, but you always learn new things. And what I wanted to do is ask a little bit my thought was not to spread this administrative services over such a narrow base of 37 employees, but that it would be over a broader base, and it would be over a period of 2 years. It's not something that has to happen immediately, and that conceptually, that while there are some positions that are not being filled, certainly in a department of hundreds of people, that over the course of 2 years, there will be more of that, those adjustments and such. So I would like to explore a little bit more about how this is falling just on that narrow base of employees, and if there's a way, do we need some additional language? Do we need to move the number around or shift it in some way to make that so it's not so concentrated in one area? Because that wasn't our intent to do that. So we certainly can work on that. And you know, maybe you have some suggestions for us on that, or some of your staff does as we do this over the next 2 days.
That'd be great. We're open to that and appreciate that. And okay. Why don't we have that? We'll have that dialogue with the staff. I do. Part of the reason I don't have an answer is I know I asked the question, and it's not a simple answer because it's like we can't necessarily, with the language, we can't necessarily borrow from unclaimed property to do other functions. So We're going to have that dialogue. I asked the same question, so we're going to have to figure that out.
Okay. And then we have questions. Yes, Senator Rest.
Well, I'm really appreciative that you're considering that, because when we looked through this, we raised some of those questions. And when we talk about no net loss or no net gain or something, we have to look not just at FTEs, but at what functions those folks are performing. And not to stretch the point too much, but you have two people who work in the mailroom. You can't take one of those and make them an investigator. Right. I mean, that just doesn't work. And I think the cuts have to be really thoughtfully looked at and in more detail than is reflected just in the $1.5 million cut, because as you know, I'm and appreciate the commissioner's comments about the OLA's report. We do not want to foster a disastrous situation in the Department of Commerce by not making the cuts strategic, and instead having the availability of some unnamed, unscrupulous employee, which we know exists throughout state government. They are there. We have seen examples of that in the Department of Revenue, Department of Human Services, to be able to discover the weaknesses that exist when you cannot have separation of duties or you have inappropriate access, et cetera. And I'd like to, Mr. Carlson, to talk a little bit more about that. That they know where, that's what happened in the Department of Revenue, that person was extremely experienced, knew exactly where the weaknesses were, and exploited them to the detriment of the taxpayers. I think we need to be very careful that we don't set that up as we are making the cuts to meet the target.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very concerned about that. And although in the OLS report, it doesn't necessarily identify the Department of Administrative Services, that's where some of this is going to fall. And there is the cut that the governor's recommended for Market Assurance Division or Department, but if you look at the OLA report again, that's where there were some vulnerabilities, and I feel assured that Commissioner Rothman has taken steps to correct those, but there's going to be vigilance, but that can only go so far. And then you have the vulnerability that will just be systematic rather than intentional, if you get my meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for being open to designating where those cuts may be with regard to making sure that the Department of Commerce can be at
those comments in the restroom are very well taken. Other questions? Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, with regard to the work you're doing around data efficiency and making sure that you're up to speed in that area, have you been in conversations about if we were to do a consolidated data center, how that might affect your department? And are you part of those conversations? Are your data needs being looked at as some of those conversations are unfolding?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonoff, we don't have today with us Greg Fetter, who is our information technology expert. I know that those conversations are happening. I've toured our own data center. My own personal view is that there's a need for commerce to have its own. I would be reluctant to, and I haven't spoken with Mr. Fetter, so I don't want to speak out of school on it. But my only concern would be that we make sure that we maintain the integrity of Commerce's computer systems and data. There's a lot of significant industry and consumer information that needs to be maintained in a secure fashion. And I would caution anything like that unless it makes sense to all of us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Certainly, and I know that Senator Bonhoff and we've examined as a legislature. I mean, I think Senator Rest, you know, certainly within state government and anybody that's served on the state government, the finance division or committee, the whole notion of the computer technology, it's a tug of war because there's the agencies want the flexibility to control their own for their own purposes, and there's a lot of good reasons for that. But yet, then we look at that and we say, everybody's doing their own thing, and it's duplicative, so let's pull it together and do one system. And then we have the Office of Technology, and then their weaknesses are, I mean, they could be good at some things, as you've probably determined, but then on other things, they're not, because it oftentimes becomes a one-size-fits-all, and then it doesn't serve the needs of the department. And so there's that constant tug-of-war between those two philosophies. And it sounds like I know that the department has experienced those over the years. I think with the licensing system, I think you've had some back and forth on that and the department system and what the Office of Technology has done or tried to do and where that's at. Hasn't been an easy road necessarily. But, so I don't know. Maybe that's if that offers any insight to that or folks who haven't been around as long to know that we're constantly in that tug of war. Okay. Other questions of the commissioner then?
Mr. Chair, and I do have that other meeting. They went ahead of me to let them know, but I can answer a question or two more. And the staff is here.
We'll have certainly, I think, plenty of questions as we drill down into some of these other areas. Any members of any other questions of the commissioner while he's here? Well, then, Commissioner, thank you very much for your input. We'll continue to work with your staff and you. Over today and tomorrow, certainly, and then as this bill moves through to finance and then on to the floor, certainly, and it's a long road to go, and we'll keep refining it and making it better.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
For your help.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, then, members, let's do this. We have, for today, we have 25 minutes. Let's, I think we should try to use the expertise we have in the room the best we can, and I would like to for members to be able to zero in on areas of concern that they have, questions they have, and we can bring that up. I know that we certainly have the different agency areas, would be it financial institutions or market assurance and such, and then we have the fund transfers. That we have those are separate issues there. I know that Senator Cruz had some questions about the license technology surcharge. We can start with those. Since that was the first question up.
I would like to hear from Mr. Carlson, the Deputy Commissioner, on the implications for administrative services.
So, okay, we'll certainly get that one on the list. You know, since we, you know, why don't we do this? I think that it probably would be best if we had Mr. Carlson, since we're already into that topic, if that's okay, Senator Cruz, we'll get to those fund transfers. But I just think that since we've already spent some time on this, that it wouldn't hurt to drill down some more into the administrative services. So, if Mr. Carlson, if you could join us. And maybe if you have some additional information other than what the commissioner offered up, we certainly understand that this is as you said, a red flag or a sticking point on the budget proposal is what's going on in administrative services. But Senator Rest, did you have any specific questions?
One is actually to you and then for him to comment on. The five positions that you're envisioning to on the unclaimed properties.
Sure.
How do you see them operating within the department? And if they are to be non-contract employees rather than state employees, there's possibly savings there. But then I get concerned about the vulnerability of non-government employees having access to state databases where there might not be the same sort of supervision that would be there if they were state employees and under regular kinds of supervision. So I would ask Mr. Carlson, if those five people were hired and they were contract employees, and I'm perfectly willing to hear the answer that no, there wouldn't be any increased vulnerability and access to data would not be an issue, but I would like some assurance on that. And maybe the first question was, did you have any particular preference about whether they would be contract employees or working outside of state government, or
certainly. Well, let's take that. Let's take up that unclaimed property issue first. The thought here was this, and if members aren't real familiar with this, we've learned a lot about the unclaimed property area. Certainly not as much to the level of that we would all like, but from what we understand, it seems to be an area similar to tax compliance, where we know that there's tax revenue on the table out there, and so what we've done in the years is through the tax committee, they've put additional folks on compliance. They more than compensate for themselves by then bringing in the additional revenue, and you can do that to a point. There is a point of diminishing returns. We want to be very sensitive to that and not overstate what the inputs and outputs would be on this. So currently, our understanding is that there is, other than managing administratively the program, there is nobody in the department that does any of the compliance, which means that it's essentially a voluntary program. And our thought was that there's certainly some revenue to be gotten out there by some rudimentary or at least some level of enforcement. And in working with the department, we've come up with a number, a range of folks, and you know, you don't know exactly how many. We have put forth that over the next 2 years that a modest approach would be 5 FTEs. And that would be enough to bring in several million dollars and more than compensate that and help us. So that's the concept. The question of contract versus employee. Currently, the bill states that the commissioner may contract this out. And we've kind of gone back and forth on should this be a may or a shall. The bill says may. But I'm still not sure, and I'm still thinking about whether or not that should be firmer and be a shall. And I'm open to some discussion on that. We can do an oral amendment to change one word tomorrow when we take up amendments. But I'm still unsure about whether that should be a may or shall. Currently in the bill, it's a may. And then, okay, if you want to talk, then I was going to talk about the sensitivity of the data. Yes, Senator Rest.
Yeah, I think that's an important question because it may well be that the skill sets that these folks would have are not in the department now, and yet they may have them because of whatever their professional expertise is outside in the private world, doing the same kind of job for maybe a different purpose. I'd be interested to know if that's how the deputy commissioner would see that as well. And I don't know the difference. I mean, I don't have a preference right this second between may and shall, but it might be that those employees or those people that do the work, that the skill sets are so specialized that they would just go outside anyway because they don't have people in the department that they can, when we're talking about net losses, that they can move into those positions training, and then where's the funding for that? Because we know that costs. So I'd be, interested, not so much in the may and shall, but just where would you go to find these people? Is there any kind of, is there specialized training? Would you take some people from the Department of Revenue, for example, doing the same kind of jobs and transfer them for what the biggest bang for the buck? And I would think people who are experienced in these skill sets are more likely to bring in the anticipated revenue. And then as a little second thing to that, has MMB kind of like verified, or is it just the Department of Commerce, of what the expected return is of this $3 million for the $375,000?
Okay. To that question, Senator Rust, the MMB has not signed off on the number, but the we've worked with Mr. Mueller and Mr. Cocking here on trying to come up with what was a reasonable amount with the department. So they've had some input on what was a rational or reasonable number based on their best guess. And, of course, when a fiscal note, of course, goes through MMB, they go to the department to say what is reasonable. So the assumption is that information or data would then transfer through MMB and that this would be a reliable number for us.
So, Mr. Chairman, as the bill goes forward and gets merged into the
yes.
others as a Senate position
yes.
on this bill, I think the strongest verification from MMB and the fiscal note would serve you very well.
Yes, Senator Rustin, and that was the intent, is to have that strong backing, because we can put any number we want on a piece of paper, and at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean anything. And so we wanted to do our due diligence on that and be conservative in the estimates and not go overboard like we have done over the years with the tax compliance, quite overstated in many cases. So, and then lastly, to get to your other question about the sensitivity of the data, I hadn't really thought about that in this proposal, but I guess I don't have a lot of concerns, and we can hear about that. My thought is, number one is, we have contract employees throughout government at all levels that have access to data, and I'm sure that it's part of those contractual arrangements. There's confidentiality agreements, and there's all sorts of laws that govern that use of the data and access to the data with those controls and such. And the other thing is that the unclaimed property data probably isn't as sensitive as medical data or tax information or some other things. So I guess the level of concern wasn't there for me, which is why it didn't really rise to my thinking and the sensitivity.
But Mr. Chairman, if they were to have, or some of the findings from the legislative auditor
mm-hmm.
were indeed inappropriate
right.
access to databases,
right.
No separation of duties,
mm-hmm.
Lack of supervision
right.
or in some instances, and it seems to me that is that can just as doesn't necessarily mean it's a management issue. It can be a resources issue, and that I guess that's one of the things I'd like Mr. Carlson to
okay.
speak to. Some of the things probably were management, and we know that Commissioner Rossman has taken care of them,
mm-hmm.
But at some point it gets to be a resources challenge,
mm-hmm.
not a management challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Mr. Carlson, you've heard the discussion. Maybe some comments and insight for us.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much. My name is Steve Carlson. I am the Deputy Commissioner of Commerce for Administration, and it's a real pleasure to be with you today, and very much appreciate the very informed and thoughtful discussion that you've been having and the questions that you're asking us. Sitting to my right is Amy Trumper, who is the head of our unclaimed property division, and between the two of us, we hope to be able to answer the questions that you have. I think I'd like to address, if I might, first, Mr. Chairman and Senator Rest's questions related to unclaimed property and the question of doing work inside versus doing work outside. I think, again, you've delved very deeply into the kinds of questions that we've been working on. I should say that when I came on board the department, which was last month, the first thing that I was charged with by Commissioner Rothman was to work on internal controls issues, very mindful of the OLA reports, very mindful of issues that have arisen, and the context that the commissioner described for you with the series of cuts that have been going on in administrative services over the last 10 years, trying to figure out how to manage that better. We're working on that across a number of areas. Insofar as unclaimed property is concerned and adding five people, we're very grateful for that, and I must say I'm personally very grateful for that, in part because it's one of the things that I'd identified as an area where some of the cuts over the years had probably gone farther than they have. Other states tend to have more people involved in this activity. They are they devote more resources to trying to find property that belongs to citizens of their states that have been lost or misplaced. People have passed away. People have forgotten about where they've left things, accounts, safe deposit box, things, and so forth. So it's important, and it's significant money. In that regard, with respect to five positions, I think that, as Tim Janke indicated, our CFO, I think our first approach would be to add some additional staff that would be working in the department to help us on that. We've identified a couple of areas where we would like to follow up promptly. I think, Mr. Chairman, you characterized the situation fairly well. I would add, however, and want you to be aware that one of the things that the department has done over the years, as have, I think, at least 45 other states, we do contract out now with two organizations that help us identify unclaimed property that is not in Minnesota. So it is in bank accounts in New York and California, Florida, and other places. And so they help us because the department has not had the staff or the wherewithal to go chase down property in other locations, and that's true for other states. So there is, in effect, a sharing arrangement, an arrangement where people make every effort to try to get property where it belongs. So that's been going on for a long time, and so there are mechanisms in place. Confidentiality is, of course, important, but also other efforts to work with outside parties to help. What we would do here, I honestly don't know entirely how we would proceed. The kinds of concerns that you've raised in your colloquy, I think, are precisely the ones that we'd be concerned about. We would be thinking about balancing those confidentiality needs and trying to maintain that integrity while also trying to maximize the collections and the returns. I think that, Senator Rest, as you had indicated, that there may be some people with some additional expertise where it might make some sense to hire out some extra help. That might not necessarily involve their being very involved in personal data. It may simply be helping us extract more information and reminders, quite honestly, to a lot of financial institutions in the state of Minnesota and elsewhere that this is, in fact, a responsibility that they have, and to companies and others that perhaps have fallen out of the habit or were never in the habit of knowing that they had unclaimed property responsibilities to Minnesota citizens. So that would be how we would proceed. I don't have a specific answer on when and immediately how. I do know what I would like to do at least would be to get a couple of people on directly as direct hires, and we have some initial things that we would do immediately. But beyond that, we would follow up as you suggested. I'm not sure if I covered everything, Mr. Chair, that was asked, but I'd be happy to follow up or answer further if that isn't sufficient to cover that topic or any other that relate to the administrative services side.
I have a question. I think in some of the discussions and exploration of this, there was some talk about other states that have done different types of efforts to along these same lines. I don't know if you happen to know something about that, or if Mr. Janke does. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what was done in some other states and what was the success or not success of those efforts.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, I will ask Amy to respond to that. I think she's been in charge of the relationships that we have with these two companies that I've indicated that are working with 45 other states.
Ms. Trumper.
Mr. Chair, good morning, members.
Welcome.
Almost afternoon. The other states, in building their compliance programs, it really is based on the state's history. There are some states that have significant, a dozen people strictly dedicated to in-state audits. And as we discussed, our two auditing firms that we contract with right now, they focus mainly on out-state audits, not property of businesses within our borders. the contract auditors, because they are a fee-for-service entity, they leave inside your state borders for your own state to follow up with. So for compliance efforts in other states, to compare them to what Minnesota has been doing, because the compliance efforts have been cut back over many, many years, there isn't a lot of comparison, because for years here, we haven't had the compliance program. The state of Iowa, for example, right now is contracting with a trainer to train their auditors to gear the answer more towards to what Senator Rust was asking. So the auditors themselves are state employees. They contract out for the training piece for the auditors. So it's kind of a two-step approach. For states that have established compliance programs, they are desk audits. They are working with other state agencies, whether it be a tax agency or a licensing agency. They are comparing their unclaimed property records for their state to the companies, per se, that should be reporting. Unfortunately for Minnesota, we have not been able to explore with the staff that we have now, we have not even been able to explore those avenues. For Deputy Carlson, what he was saying, to establish what we're doing now in state, we have a lot of legwork that we can do with starting up our staff of two or three with some appropriate guidance from an audit training program, that we can look at in-state compliance with a focus that historically has not been, for many years, explored.
Okay. Ms. Trumper, just one question. Senator, did you have another question as well?
Request at some point that Commissioner Carlson talk about where he would see the impact of the overall FTE cuts.
Oh, certainly.
To administrative services, since it's far exceeds that to the other two divisions, or whatever they call them, that that we deal with in this committee. And you really can't count exactly as a trade-off the anticipated five people that would be doing unclaimed property.
Certainly. Okay.
I think.
I have a question first. Ms. Trumper, I want to make sure we're not overreaching. So in the range of adding one person or 12, you said, in one particular state, we're looking at five. In your opinion, is that a reasonable approach? Is not too far out of the realm of possibility, yet it is enough to actually have an impact? What is your thought on the level of which we're approaching this?
Mr. Chair, I do think that it is a reasonable level. For a state the size of Minnesota, we would not be a California or a Florida size to go aggressively with adding a staff of 15. I think where I tend to be a little more conservative or apprehensive is in rolling that audit program out, because this is from the ground up. To go out and hire five at one time out of the gate, I think may be a little bit too aggressive. To get two or three on staff, get them established and ready, and bring more in as we ramp up the program, I think would be a more comfortable position for the program, just building it from the two or three up to the five level in year one. Once we are established past year one, we have the audit training that we need, and the program is up and running, I think we will need to reassess where we are, where those returns are coming from, establish, take a look at that time and see at what level we bring the additional in. Five positions in year one may be too aggressive. There's something to be said for economies of scale and getting the training all done at once. Okay. There's that benefit as well. A staff of five I do not think is too aggressive for the state of Minnesota. Phasing that in the actual approach of the program is a little more up for discussion, I would say.
Okay, and Ms. Jumper, then on our numbers, on the number of what the cost would be, and then also the amount of dollars, the $3 million that we think we could bring in for this, are those within the realm of possibility, in your opinion? Are those reasonable numbers?
Mr. Chair, those are reasonable numbers. I would say those definitely are. The $3 million over the biennium, I think, in 12 and 13 that we're discussing, I think that those are reasonable targets.
Okay. All right. Because we don't want to overreach. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had two questions. One was the one that Senator Rest asked already with regard to Deputy Commissioner Carlson, where you see the impact on the FTE loss. And then the other question is with regard to the training, is there money then that you would use within your current budget for the training? Do you have that planned?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonoff, would you?
That's fine. Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonoff, I don't think that we had something planned at the moment. It was good news to us yesterday to identify that there were five FTEs that might be added to the unclaimed property unit, so this is brand new for us to try to identify, but no, I don't think we have, but we would clearly identify that money, and if I'm hearing this properly, I think that some of the general funds that would be available for what we've identified as five FTEs might in fact be used for some of that training.
Mr. Chair and Deputy Commissioner Carlson, that's what I was wondering, if in fact you might do four and then use one actually to fund the training. Depending on how your collections trend, you could justify an additional person.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonoff, yes, I think that's quite possible.
I want to spend some time on the just the overall administrative services, unless you had a comment on the unclaimed property.
Yeah. Did you cover that? No, sir, I have nothing further.
All right, thank you. So I would like to, Deputy Commissioner, I'd like to get your comments for all of us on the impact of the proposed cuts to administrative services. But I also want to point out something here, too, for us to consider. In the session laws of 2009, the last time when we were down this road, there was some rider language in the bill that says the commissioner may redirect the general fund reduction of $800,000 in fiscal year 2010 and $800,000 in fiscal year 2011 to other subdivisions of this section. So there was some language in there that granted the commissioner latitude,
some flexibility,
so that's not concentrated.
I would be very much more comfortable.
And then we should try to explore that, because as I see it, the intent is not to zero this in on such a narrow area. So with that intent, I mean, maybe you could,
is language like this helpful, and how would you use this? And maybe you could tell us a little bit about how many FTEs are in some of the other areas as well. That might be helpful. And then maybe we can just use up the few minutes to get your thoughts on that.
That's fine. Mr. Chairman, thank you. Let me respond first by saying that I think that Commissioner Rothman said it well, that no matter how we slice it, the notion of 12 FTEs coming out of general fund and initially targeted at administrative services, notwithstanding how we would reallocate people, is a big cut. I will ask Mr. Janke to, if he can remember, about how many FTEs we have in commerce that, in fact, are already covered by the general fund, so that the reallocation that you've identified, what that might mean. But in general, I think, as the commissioner indicated, the Commerce Department is already staffed very leanly. Coming here from the private sector and seeing how the department operates, it's clear to me that over the years there have been a series of cuts to the department, and it is staffed leanly. I'm not seeing a lot of people with nothing to do. People are busy, and they're professionals. Mm-hmm. And as you all well know on the committee, of course, I'm not telling you something you don't know. Because of the very specialized areas that are in the department, there isn't a lot of fungibility between people among units. There's people that do telecoms aren't expert in unclaimed property and aren't expert in petrol fund and energy and so on and so on, that kind of thing. So there are very specialized people in the department right now. So the way that kind of a cut on administrative services for the sort of thing that you're talking about, I think it will be a challenge, and we'll have to think about how to respond. I don't think that I'm in a position right now to tell you exactly what we would do, because this just came up essentially yesterday. But it will not be simple. As indicated, we've got a very small number already of people in the information technology area the financial management side is also extremely small, and this document management group is not a big group. So that plus the other people in the department that are funded by general fund to move it around. I was not familiar with the special legislative authority that you'd identified for the past two fiscal years, but I should think that something along those lines would give us more flexibility so that we could move things across.
So I should say, too, I'll point out, actually, it wasn't actually in the Department of Commerce appropriation bill. This was actually part of the environment, or the DNR. It was within DNR. And I'm told that this approach has been used in with the Department of Agriculture and other departments as sort of a tried-and-true method of spreading these out to give agencies some flexibility. So this particular example was not used for the Department of Commerce. Okay. If I could, I hate to cut you off, but I think we've gained a lot from your testimony and kind of know a direction on this. What I would like to do then, members, is we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. We'll have an hour and a half, and if we need to, we'll certainly go into tomorrow evening as well. I would say that if you have any proposed amendments to the bill, you have options. You could either come talk to me between now and tomorrow if you want to. We can discuss it. Or if you want to just bring your amendments, that's an approach as well to the committee. We can discuss and deal with those at that time as well. Either way. And we'll spend some time talking about the other divisions and also the fund transfers and answer any questions that members may have. And we'll continue to press on. So with that, members, the committee is adjourned.